John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KBA, the last hour of the last show of the week, the last Friday before the election. How you doing out there? Thank you for waking up on the right side, letting me be part of your commute. When voters fill out their ballots, they have a whole host of ballot measures in front of them, one of which is to ratify or not ratify legislation passed into law, signed by the governor, that allows same-sex couples to get married. Now, this is an easy... We've talked about this several times on the show. We get a lot of great reaction from people. And it's the kind of issue where you can debate the pros and cons. What I wanted to do today, and I don't know if you've heard this on any other show or not, is I wanted to introduce you to a friend of mine here who works at Fisher Broadcasting. He actually works with all of our stations. He heads digital media development. And he is gay. He is in a committed relationship. He hopes that he and his partner can have children. And he hopes that he and his partner can get married. And what I wanted to, he doesn't want to, you know, say, here's how you should vote and why. But he does want to tell you a little bit about himself. And after he does so, I want you to call and tell me whether or not you think that my friend Travis Mayfield should be allowed to get married or not. I'll give out the phone numbers now. It's 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757. Outside King County's 1-888-312-5757. Travis Mayfield, great having you here on KVI.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to talk with your fine listeners. I'm a fan of the show, so it's exciting to be here and talk to you, John.
All right. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Where
sure.
you grew up, when you knew
yep.
you were gay, how you got into your relationship, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So I'm a Northwest native, born and bred, born in Oregon. The family moved to the Seattle area when I was in eighth grade. I went to South Kitsap High School. I graduated from Gonzaga University, and I've worked in broadcasting and local news for my whole career all over the Northwest. So my heart and soul is here in this region, and I love what we do in this business. I am also an openly gay man. I officially came out between my freshman year and sophomore year in college. I started telling my friends.
At a Catholic school.
That's right. Absolutely. I actually,
was that uncomfortable?
You know, I actually spent my freshman year at Boston University, a secular school,
right.
and transferred mm-hmm. to Gonzaga University because I felt like it was a better fit for me. And between the summer, between the two, I'd really struggled my freshman year with my own sexual identity and my own self, and was had a really tough year, and came home and realized that I had all these friends and all this family, and I was going to this new school that I felt had all these hopes. And I was like, I need to be honest with myself, and I need to be honest with them. So I vowed that I would step foot on that campus of a Catholic school in conservative Spokane, Washington, as an openly gay man, and there would be no question about it. And so that's exactly what I did. And this was in the mid-90s, before Will and Grace or Modern Family or shows, you know,
yes.
had popularized the idea of openly gay men in the media.
So and, how was that experience?
You know, it was actually amazing. What I've found over my life is that the more comfortable I am in my own skin, the more comfortable other people are with me and with interacting with me and understanding me. I really think that the most powerful advocacy is knowing me as a human being. I've never been politically outspoken. I mean, I've been a broadcaster and a journalist for most of my career, but I feel that sharing my personal experience is something that people can say, I know you as a human being, and for the first time have an experience with you, and so I actually like you. You're not what I see on television. You're not something that I've had demonized in my mind. You're someone who I consider, I respect, and I'm friends
with. Well, you've told me in the past how embarrassed you are when you see the more flamboyant, flagrant gay pride parade, chaps with no underwear
sure.
kind of thing.
because it doesn't represent. So I don't want to stand in judgment on anyone or what they do and such. But I can tell you that for my family, that doesn't reflect my experience. I mean, I'm currently standing in front of you with jeans and a V-neck merino sweater. You know, I live in the suburbs of Seattle. We have a home. I live with my husband. We have a dog, and we're trying to have a kid. You know, I live a very suburban life. I listen to your show as I commute in and swear about the traffic. My life is a very conventional life. And yet,
except
that's right, except that my partner, my husband, is a man. But I don't think that makes me really honestly any different than any of your listeners or you and your wife's relationship, John. I mean, I love my husband with my heart and soul. When we went on our first date, I remember sitting over sushi with him 6 years ago and looking to his eyes and thinking, I'm going to marry this guy. And I love to tell this story that before we ordered dessert, after we finished dinner, I looked at him and I said, I want to be a father. And if you don't want to be a father, we don't need to order dessert. And he didn't run away from me. And so I knew it was meant to be. And now we're actually working on that process.
What do you want people who are not gay to know about gays?
That we are every shape and size and color and personality, that gay isn't necessarily some sort of identity. We are human beings, and we are your neighbors, we are your relatives, we are your friends. And you may see gay people that you don't relate to and you don't like, but that doesn't mean that's all gays.
Now, are you still Roman Catholic?
I actually went to a Catholic school, but I was born and raised in a fundamentalist Christian church. We actually converted to Presbyterianism when I was in junior high. I was confirmed and baptized as a Presbyterian and am still active in our church locally. And you know, I am a devout Christian. And in fact, I think this is important for folks to know. I really believe that God created each of us in his image. I really, with my very heart and soul, believe that. And I believe that he created me in his image. And I believe that I am honoring him by being the fullest of myself that I can possibly be. And if I were anything less than that, I would be saying to God, you made a mistake and I'm embarrassed. And I don't believe that God makes mistakes. So I believe that by living this life and being who God created to me to be, I am honoring him.
Okay. Now, a piece in the Seattle Times, op-ed by several Catholic lay leaders who oppose Referendum 74. Here's what they say. They say, no one denies the close and intimate bond experienced by same-sex couples. However, it is simply not the same thing as marriage because, by its very nature, it cannot produce children. Their argument is, therefore, that bond which can naturally produce children should have privileged status.
So my response to that is a very simple one. In their church, that is absolutely what they're allowed to believe and what the definition of marriage in their church can be and should be. And I will fight until my dying breath that they have that right. But what I want is recognition for my family under law. Civil law. And I want to be treated, and I want our family to be treated the same as other families are. It's an issue of civil law to me.
Another thing they write is, the state of Washington already provides all of the same legal benefits to same-sex couples that are provided to married couples.
Sure.
That was passed just a year ago in the legislature. The only matter in question with 74 is whether the word marriage also applies to couples that are composed of two members of the same sex rather than only one man and one woman. Tell me why that one word has taken on, now this has become a multi-million-dollar campaign.
Yes.
Why has that one word taken on such immense significance if, legally speaking, it doesn't matter much at all?
First of all, I would argue that it does matter. It does matter. You know, courts have ruled for decades that separate is not equal. Separate status is something that is not equal. I would also argue that in Washington State, domestic partnership is not the same thing as marriage. For example, to register as a domestic partner, we have to live together. And I actually know married couples, men and women, who live in different places because of their careers and their jobs. And if my husband and I were in that situation, we couldn't be registered domestic partners in this estate, for example. There are also private companies that provide marriage benefits under their insurance policy, and they have to actually explicitly spell out that it also applies to domestic partnerships. Okay. So marriage gives that sort of opportunity and that exact equal freedom to couples and families like mine.
Last question from me before we go to the phones is the authors of this op-ed in the Seattle Times, Tom Matthews, Bob Kelly, Pia DeSalemne, say, we would be forced to accept a legal definition of marriage that signifies a genderless institution. For instance, numerous precedents in other states have accepted the redefinition of marriage and are trying to impose this on Catholic institutions. In Massachusetts and Washington, D.C., Catholic organizations can no longer provide charitable adoption services based on the new legal definition of marriage, because they won't place children with same-sex married couples. Where would you fall down? Where would you fall on something like that?
I mean, for me, that's, I mean, there's a lot of factors in that specific example. For example, in Massachusetts, the Catholic Charities was already placing kids for adoption with same-sex couples until this debate about marriage came around and the Vatican took note. And then they basically swooped in and said, you can no longer do this because it violates the tenets of the faith. So then they had to say, well, then if we're going to continue taking state money, then we have to either follow state law or we have to stop adopting to same-sex couples. So I would argue that it is ultimately still their choice to stop adopting to same-sex couples. I would also say, as a husband and husband couple that wants to have a baby desperately, that we would make amazing parents. And I want the opportunity, and I know my friends and neighbors and fellow gays who want to be parents should have those same opportunities. But if your religious organization and charity doesn't believe that and doesn't want to do it, then you absolutely can continue not wanting to provide that and that service. But as I said, equality matters, then you can't take my state tax dollars to do it.
Okay. You've heard what Travis Mayfield has to say. Now, I have one question for you, and this is the question on the table. Should Travis be allowed to get married to
my husband, Curtis?
Curtis. Should Travis and Curtis be allowed to get married? Yes or no? Tell us why. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Outside King County, it's 1-888-312-5757. My guest is a colleague and friend of mine here at Fisher Broadcasting, Travis Mayfield. We'll get to your calls right after this quick homage to capitalism.